And now, the rest of the story. For many, many years, more than anyone could recall, it had been a sleepy little village out in the country. But then the rich folks arrived. They came on Sundays at first. Wealthy citizens from the nearest big city took their horses into the countryside and their picnic baskets and made a day of it. Villagers scarcely know what to think, peering from their cottage windows to observe the likes of Cornelius Vanderbilt strolling down a country lane. When townsfolk caught on that the town was catching on, they began catering to their metropolitan visitors, and there arose Toppy McGuire's clubhouse, which was the place to stop after a refreshing day in the country air, and Brassy's Tunnel, that was a pub that had actually been carved out of a huge rock. Big city aristocracy responded warmly to this rural hospitality, and they cherished the seclusion of being out in the country, a place where they could enjoy polite company and yet far from the overstimulation of their own bustling burg, and thus did that little village up north become, well, it became the ultimate place to get away from it all. But this is the rest of the story. After a while, the grateful affluent decided that weekends were not enough. Why not enjoy the charm and the solitude every day? And all year long, they wondered. And so the rich folks began buying and building and moving, and thus a suburb was born. And soon rows of trees and colorful gardens and magnificent homes were everywhere. New residents were always careful to explain to strangers that they lived in that elite community. As one put it, it was our way of avoiding contact with such uncouth citizens as might be found downtown. Of course, the big city itself continued to prosper and to grow. In fact, it eventually grew all the way out to the once secluded village. The city has now grown out to the edge of the suburb. And yet, while the community was no longer separated from the city by an expansive countryside, it still remained ultimately exclusive. It still remained this suburb, the choicest residential section of the entire metropolitan area. One newspaper referred to the community as a great city in itself. And one monthly magazine called it, quote, the center of fashion, wealth, culture, and intelligence. It became known far and wide as a residential haven, quote, for people of taste and wealth. And so schools and churches sprang up there, and I mean elegant ones, and apartment houses, and I mean fancy houses, lots of them, too many of them. So many of them that despite the desirable location, there were not enough tenants to fill them. It was overzealous speculation that spoiled the elegant dream. I said it was overzealous speculation that spoiled the dream. And today, my, today you'd never guess that Commodore Vanderbilt once ran his horses there. You'd never guess that VIPs like John C. Fremont and Schuyler Colfax had to fight to prove they owned land there. You'd never imagine that it was once a place to get away from it all. Yet there was a day when wealthy and influential New Yorkers outbid one another for the privilege to say that they belonged in Harlem. And now you know the rest of the story.